Welcome to the virtual campus hosted by Hilton Johnson Productions. Please enter your PIN number followed by the pound sign.
So many modalities that aren't proton pump inhibitors or acid blockers that actually block your stomach acid so that you can't actually digest your food right. The final function of hydrochloric acid is to begin to break down protein foods in your stomach. And how it does that is it starts cleaving these proteins that can be up to 20,000 molecules long and cleaves them and starts breaking them into smaller peptides so that the work of the pancreas and the rest of your digestion doesn't have to work so hard. So when we block acid, we're blocking something that's really essential for our body. Another part of digestion is also our pancreas. It's our ability for our pancreas to actually produce enough enzymes. Sometimes I do stool testing with some of my clients, and I'll look actually at in the stool for either chymotrypsin or look for pancreatic elastase, which are two separate markers of pancreatic function, depending on which lab you use. And what I'll see often is that people have deficiencies in output of pancreatic enzymes. So those enzymes are there to break down fat, protein, and carbohydrate, and starches. And if we don't have enough enzymes, then we're not going to be able to digest the food. If we can't digest the food, then we won't be able to utilize it, and we'll feel tired. Remember I said a long time ago that the river is like a big irrigation system to try to get to our cells, and if we can't get the nutrients broken down correctly, then they can't get to our cells, and that we end up pooping them out, and we never get the value. So let's move on in how digestion works to, we talked about digestion and absorption. The absorption actually happens in the small intestine. The small intestine has a dual function, and the small intestine is about somewhere between 15 and 20 feet long, and its job is to take the contents of the pancreatic enzymes that come in, take the bile, take the chyme, which is the partially digested food from the stomach, and to continue the process of digestion so that the food gets fully digested while in the small intestine and then gets absorbed into the bloodstream. And so what happens often is that if the food is not fully digested, then it just passes through and we don't get the nutrients from it. And what we see very commonly is that people end up with increased intestinal permeability, which is also called leaky gut. And that's the first I in the Diggin model. We've been talking about digestion and absorption. Now we're moving on to the I for intestinal permeability. And remember I said that the inside of the digestive tract looks like a towel and it has all of those loops on it. Well, what happens in some people, for example, if somebody's gluten intolerant or if they have celiac disease, which we're starting to see more and more frequently, in those cases, what we start seeing is it's almost like somebody took a razor and shaved off all of those loops. And so instead of the inside of the small intestine looking like a furry, fuzzy towel with all these loops, it looks more like a bald carpet. It doesn't have any heft to it. It doesn't have anything. And so if you cut off all those loops, then you've really reduced the digestive surface. So we see this in people with celiac and gluten intolerance. I have my own theories about why we're seeing so much more of it. I think it's very multifactorial. I think that the introduction of genetically engineered foods have contributed to it. We know, for example, that that rats that are fed genetically engineered corn are susceptible to becoming sensitive and allergic to eggs. We know that these sensitivities can kind of cross from one food to another. Also, our varieties of wheat have changed dramatically in the last 50 years, and so we're not eating the kinds of wheat that we used to eat, and the wheat now has a lot more protein in it, And it's also contaminated often with pesticides and herbicides. And we, again, those pesticides and herbicides talk to our genes. The third factor that I think is really important is that wheat and wheat products comprise such a big part of the average American's diet. We know that grains comprise over 21% of the average person's food intake. Most of these are stripped, nutritionally depleted grains. And then finally, I think an underlying contributor to why we're starting to see so much gluten intolerance and celiac now, where we've never seen it before in such amounts, is that we also are passing down nutritional information and nutrigenomic information from generation to generation. I'm in the first really experimental generation with food. I was a 1952 baby, and after World War II, we started getting frozen foods and tater tots and frozen pizzas and TV dinners. We were the first generation to have all that. And so that put an imprint, and we were also the first generation who really wasn't breastfed. And all that put an imprint on our genes. And then we started having children, and our children started having microwave foods. And that put an imprint on their genes, in addition to the imprint that we got, that we gave them on our genes. And now our children are starting to have their own children. And those children are getting these imprints from at least two generations back. So I think this massive food experiment of eating food-like substances rather than real food, I think that that is coming to fruition, and we're starting to see that in our overall health and the overall health of our children. The great news is that that can be reversed. It can take three or four generations to turn that around. But if we all started eating foods that were grown sustainably and organically, if we started paying attention to eating real food, we could really turn a lot of this around. And that's what's so exciting, is because these genetic imprints are easily manipulated and returned to a healthful state. So with leaky gut, we also see leaky gut as a result of chronic stress. And how many of us are under chronic stress? The inside of the digestive tract, those loops that I was telling you about, the villi and microvilli, they're brand new every 3 to 5 days. Brand new. It's a really high turnover tissue. So when we're under stress, sometimes we delay and defer maintenance. It's kind of like if your roof was on fire, you might not actually take the time to clean your floor in your kitchen. You might really be working on the fire on your roof. And so your body will delay things that it feels like it can delay if there's bigger fires. And so we see that this doesn't get repaired in people who are under stress. We also see that drugs like non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, things like Motrin and aspirin and other pain relievers, they actually block the repair and regeneration of the gut mucosal lining, which is why over 16,000 people a year die from stomach bleeding and ulcers caused by taking pain medications, either over-the-counter or pharmaceutical. And then people also get leaky gut from use of steroids, hormone replacement therapy, birth control pills, and the list goes on and on. I talk about all this in my book. So looking at that, so we get leaky gut, and how do we actually restore and replace and increase so that we repair that? Well, some of the nutrients that are so critical are things like L-glutamine or glutamine, which is the same thing. And I like to use either a recycled glutamine that's made with alpha-ketoglutarate that helps it recycle, or I like to use powdered glutamine with people. And I use it in kind of large doses. The recycling one, I use 3 to 6 grams a day. The other one I might use as much as 5 or up to even 20 grams a day to help repair. Because unlike our brain and most of our muscles and our rest of our body that runs on glucose, our small intestine runs on glutamine, and it needs it for maintenance and repair. So glutamine is essential. I also like to give people other nutrients like quercetin and zinc and fish peptides that are made from white fish, or little bits of vitamin A, deglycerized licorice, digestive enzymes, aloe, and quercetin, which all help to repair this. And again, I know I'm going through things pretty quickly, but in digestive wellness, you will find this and so much more. I also, if you're wondering how would you know if you had leaky gut, some of the symptoms include gas and bloating, eczema or psoriasis or other skin issues, food sensitivities, indigestion, constipation, diarrhea, or IBS, asthma, fibromyalgia, migraines, fatigue and malaise, anxiety, depression, mood swings, confusion, poor memory, fuzzy thinking. There's a lot of them, ADD in kids often. And so, you know, this is something you can repair. And, you know, again, one of the greatest things that helps to repair leaky gut is eating real foods, eating foods that are easy to digest, eating foods that are loaded with probiotics and prebiotics. So with the introduction of probiotics and prebiotics, we move to start thinking about the G in Dig-In, which is the gut microbiome. And probiotics, as I mentioned before, we have somewhere between 3.5 to 4.5 pounds of bacteria in our digestive system. And some of these cause illness. You know, if you had salmonella from food, you might have food poisoning. You could have amoeba dysentery. You could have amoebas that are just kind of embedded, or other parasitic infections. You could have bacterial infections such as Klebsiella or Citrobacter or any one of a variety of infections. And this is called dysbiosis. These are pathogenic bacteria that make us feel unwell. You could also, we also all have a lot of bacteria in our bellies called commensals. And what those commensals do is they help regulate our immune system. They help regulate our metabolism. And they balance things out. And the many roles that they play is just being discovered. And then we have probiotic bacteria that are in our digestive system, and they're there, and they're making B vitamins for us. They're making vitamin K. They are regulating our immune system, because two-thirds of our immune system is in our digestive system. And the reason why it's there is because every day we are eating pounds of food, and we're saying to our digestive system, we want to be just like you. And our immune system is going, wait a minute, is this friend or foe? This is a lot of foreign stuff coming in here. And so it's looking at that, and the immune system is revved up. So when we eat things that are slightly off, or we eat things that contain pesticides and herbicides or ingredients that disagree with us, our body reacts to those. And so the probiotic bacteria are there to help regulate a lot of that. And when babies are breastfed, when they're delivered through the birth canal, then they start developing that immune system, and they develop their gut microbiome immune imprint within the first year or two of life. So what happens when we start giving those babies antibiotics repeatedly, or even a few times for strep throat or for ear infections, which little babies get all the time? What happens is that we disrupt that natural building of the immune system. And you can read about that in Digestive Wellness, and also Digestive Wellness for Children. Also, our probiotic bacteria, their main function is to regulate immunity. That's their main function. Is this friend? Is this foe? If it's not friendly, then let's deal with it. If it is friendly, let's let it pass. Because mostly our immune system is very tolerant. Most of the time, it just doesn't react, but you want it to react when it needs to. Autoimmune diseases are when it's overreacting. Also, these probiotics help with digestion of protein. They manufacture short-chain fatty acids that get fermented by the probiotic bacteria so that we make butyric acid, which is how the colon repairs and replaces itself. It's the main fuel for the colonic cells. And so these are very important. Now, in our food supply, there are a lot of foods that can supply us with probiotics, bacteria. But in the American food supply, we pretty much eat dead, devitalized food, which is why you see so many of the people who are on this call, I'm sure, are trying to eat more yogurt. You're eating coconut kefir. You're eating natto and tempeh and homemade sauerkraut and kimchi and pickles that sit on your counter and ferment. You're eating homemade root and ginger beers. You may be drinking kombucha or culturing vegetables or eating fermented vegetables. You may be drinking the whey after you make yogurt. You may be making your own sausages or buying homemade sausages. You may be eating those olives that come in the bins in grocery stores that haven't been preserved. All of these foods have probiotic bacteria. And before we started eating so much processed food 50 or 60 years ago, people just ate these naturally. People knew that these foods were critical for overall health. They didn't have probiotic supplements. They got probiotics from food. Now, personally, I take probiotic supplements every day, and I also try to eat live foods because it's the life in food that gives us life. And so start thinking about adding more of these foods. There are also something in food called prebiotics. And prebiotics are fibers that make those short-chain fatty acids that help protect and maintain and give energy to the colon. And, you know, in Europe, people eat anywhere from at least three times more prebiotics in their diet than we do. We eat 1 to 3 grams a day. And in Europe, they eat 3 to 10 grams a day. And the common foods that we find them in are like the garlic that I used at dinner, all kinds of beans, Jerusalem artichokes, onions, chicory, leeks, bananas, any kind of fruit, burdock root, asparagus, loaded with glutathione, which helps with detoxification, honey, green tea, yogurt, cottage cheese, peas, you know, all these foods have prebiotics in them. So again, eating plant-based foods is where we find the prebiotics and the probiotics. And now if we move down to, so that's a little bit about the gut microbiome. And then finally, we're going to move into the next I in the Diggin model, which is inflammation and immune. And I think I've really talked a lot about that inflammation and immune. What I want to bring it back to is that in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology 2006, there was a paper that basically said, you know, the American diet, the way that we eat it, it causes innate immune activation. It puts us in a perpetual pro-inflammatory state because it increases an excessive production of pro-inflammatory cytokines associated with a reduced production of anti-inflammatory cytokines. And so it's like, again, foods are inflammatory. Foods, because we eat pounds of food every day, it's the most inflammatory thing we do. It's why our immune system is in our gut mainly. It's really important that, again, we try to soothe it. The same supplements that I've been talking about all the way through, DGL, aloe, glutamine, quercetin, antimicrobial herbs like oil of oregano and grapefruit seed extract, they all help to reduce inflammation. I was just talking with a client today, and she was telling me that since she started increasing the amount of turmeric that she was using in her diet every day, her migraines stopped. Well, migraines, they can be due to hormonal influences, and often they are. But really, one of the main underlying causes of migraines is food sensitivities. and it's only premenstrually, we kind of get tipped over the edge because our body's trying to do too much, that triggers the migraine. But if we can deal with those food sensitivities, then we'll do a lot better. And what she was telling me and what I know to be true is that if we eat turmeric in our diet, if we eat ginger in our diet, if we use herbs and spices in our diet, things like cloves and nutmeg and cinnamon and oregano, basil, just things that we think of as everyday kitchen herbs, they reduce inflammation in our bodies. They help with digestion. And so in traditional forms of healing like Ayurveda and Hawaiian medicine, where I lived in Hawaii for a long time, we would just take fresh turmeric and we would put it in a blender and mix it with juice or tea or broth or water and have people use about 2 fingers full of that every day. It reduces inflammation throughout the body. Try to do it with foods first. Always look to foods because foods can inflame us and foods can heal us. And then finally, in our dig-in model, we have nervous system. And what you want to know about this is that we have more nerves. We have so many nerves in our digestive system, and those nerves are continually talking to our brain through our nervous system. And we make all of our neurotransmitters, all of them, in huge amounts in the digestive system. We make 90 to 95% of our serotonin in our digestive system, and it regulates our gut peristalsis and GI motility. And neurotransmitters are made of amino acids. They rely on having adequate protein and being able to break down that protein. So remember, a lot of us don't have enough pancreatic enzymes. A lot of us don't have enough hydrochloric acid, and we can't even break down the protein. And so we don't have the right neurotransmitter balance. And that makes us feel depressed and anxious. And so I can give, you know, I spend a whole day doing a whole workshop on the brain-gut connection because it's so evident. So, again, when we reduce stress, when we do things like working out regularly, when we meditate, when we eat slowly and carefully, when we chew our foods well, we send the right messages to our nervous system as well, so that we can feel calmer and happier. It's really a tragedy that so many of our population are on drugs that are for depression and anxiety and insomnia. And so much of this, when we heal the gut, it disappears. I cannot tell you how often I have seen changes. I was teaching a class this summer for Saybrook University, and some of the students decided that they were going to start a sugar-free challenge over the 8 weeks of the course. And it was amazing to see, just by doing that one thing, what people started reporting: weight loss, depression disappearing, energy levels getting high, better sleep, anxiety improving, digestive issues disappearing. Sometimes we can do really simple things that have such great impact on how we feel. So tonight I've really presented to you a little bit about the dig-in model, and I do hope that you'll buy Digestive Wellness, and if you do, you will get so much more than I was able to give you tonight. We have a new website that's just kind of being formed as we speak, and it's www.digestivewellnessbook.com, and there's all kinds of extra goodies, and also if you go to innovativehealing.com, which is my main website, you can sign up to receive tips from me, which I send out infrequently, information about where I'm speaking. You can also get free, listen to other free lectures that I've done, look at PowerPoints, listen to, watch TV interviews and listen to radio interviews. There's so much there. And if you just give me your email, you will find that that I will stay in touch with you and let you know what's really up. In fact, today I sent out a wonderful tip about some of the research on all the toxic VOCs, volatile organic chemicals, that are in air fresheners, dryer sheets, fabric softeners, and laundry detergents. And so every month or so, I send out a little tip about something that I think might interest you. And they're free, and I don't bug you. So with that, what I'm going to do is ask all of you to mute yourselves by pressing *6. And I'm going to press *5 and open up for questions. So if you could all press *6, then we would be having a really quiet call, because right now it's really not quiet. Hearing everybody mute. All those little poppy things are people muting their phone. So if you do, if you know that the phone was a clear day, but for some reason you can hear the chance to hear the call. So if you have a question, why don't you ask it and then I'll go ahead and use the call. Okay, so I'm just muting everybody again because you are too loud and I can't even hear your questions. I'm going to try this one more time. Please press *6 to mute yourself. And I'm going to open up for questions, and if we can get the call really quiet, then we'll be able to hear them. So I'm going to try one more time. Does somebody have a question? I know it's really loud. But really sorry, everyone. I think I'm not going to be able to open up for questions. But I do encourage you to go ahead and go to digestivewellnessbook.com, go to innovativehealing.com, and definitely check out the book. This is the 4th edition. It's used as a textbook in colleges all over the country, but it's used by clinicians and used by the public alike. It's a very easy-to-read, understandable book filled with thousands and thousands of bits of information that will help you understand more about who you are, how your body works, and what you can do to empower yourself to feel better. When I'm walking through the grocery store and somebody flags me down and says, "Hey, Liz, I read your book and my fibromyalgia is gone, or my migraines are gone, or my irritable bowel syndrome is gone, or my eczema is clearing up," it makes me feel so great because people are really empowered to take this into their own hands. And so it's been a pleasure being with you tonight. I'm sorry that I couldn't open up for questions. I would have loved to have done that. But until next time, be well. And if you do put yourself on my mailing list at innovativehealing.com, I will inform you about other events that I'll be at, and hopefully our paths will cross. And when you do run into me, remember to say hi. I'm very friendly. So good night and be well. And remember that when your body is acting out, it's trying to get your attention and say to you, "I'm trying to get your attention. Please do something different." And so rather than covering it up and going faster and moving faster in your life, try to figure out what you can do to really bring yourself into better balance. I know balance is hard to stay in, but I'm encouraging all of you to practice your self-care and remember to be nice to yourself and kind. And with that, I wish you all a really good night and hope to run into you soon. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for being here. I so appreciated it. With my huge heart, I thank you all. Good night.